We continue our series this morning, I Do. I Do. Series on marriage. And we're going to look into God's Word. Amen. And we're going to accept what God's Word says. Amen. And we're going to apply what God's Word says. Amen. All right, that's the goal. Anytime we open the Bible, the goal must be, God, change our life through your word. Would you stand with me as we read from God's word? Husbands and wives is the subject under discussion this morning. Verse 22, Ephesians chapter 5 says, wives, submit. I like the sound of that. Amen. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I pray today that you will open our minds and our hearts to your word. Lord, help us to be receptive and to take your word and to allow your word to change us, Lord, that we might build stronger marriages, which will lead to stronger families. For Lord, there's so many attacks today upon our families. And it just seems like Satan is bent upon the destruction of the family. And Father, it's too important to let it go. So Lord, just take this message, take your word and apply it to us that we might be made better servants for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I want you to understand as we begin our study this morning, there is an attack on families. An all-out war. And I want you to also understand that you are not immune to attack. Okay? I don't care who you are, I have heard of men and women splitting up at age 70 after they had spent years and years and years. I've heard of men and women after they raise their kids and the kids are grown and gone and they decide, well, we're going to split up. I've heard of preachers, pastors whose life has been devastated by divorce. So I want you to understand as we look at this, you may be in the 50-year club. This still applies to you. Okay? You're still in danger. It doesn't matter who you are. And I also want you to understand this is not, we're not preaching a book about marriage. Okay? Have you noticed, have you ever went to the Christian bookstore and and seen the books on marriage? I mean, shelves after shelves, saving your marriage, recovering from broken trust, how to save your marriage before it starts, and how to put your marriage back together. And I mean, there's list on top of list, and all that's fine, okay? I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with reading a marriage book, okay? But if you will notice, the marriage rate has, or the staying married rate is not improving. It's still 1 out of 2 marriages, last report that I saw. And I think it's because we have all these experts on how to have a successful marriage who aren't experts. And we look at these books and we read these books and we think, if I do what this book says, it'll work. No. Here is the expert. Okay? The Word of God is the expert authority on how to make a marriage work. All right? It may not always tell you what you want to hear, but it is, if you want a marriage that works, look into the Word of God and apply it as the truth of God, and I promise you, your marriage will stand the test of time. And that's what we're going to do today as we look in this book of Ephesians. And we start in verse 22. Are you ready? Swallow hard. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay? Let's all say amen to that. Amen. Okay. Men, women, the same. This is God's word. And what we're going to do, we're going to break this down so you know this isn't something Brother Doug is making up. All right? We start with the word wives. You know who that is, correct? We know who the wives are. Husbands, you better know who your wife is. You know, okay, we're talking about the ladies in the marriage relationship. And his second word, wives, submit. Now, when there are some people, when they hear this, that, boy, that mind is going to close shut like a steel trap. Okay, now, this is God's word. God's word is always right. So let's look at submit. Wives, submit. What does that mean? Well, it means to voluntarily place yourself under the subjection of another. Wives, you should subject yourselves to your husbands. And it literally reads like this: wives, you subject or submit to your husband. The reason that it reads like that, wives, you, is because you're the one who has to do it. Okay? If you'll notice, nowhere in the scripture does it say, husbands demand that your wives submit to you. Men, if you want to go that route, go ahead. Tell me how it works out for you. It won't do it. Okay? So I want you to know God is talking to the ladies here. This is something that you do, that you voluntarily make your choice to subject yourself to your husband. Your husband is not a dictator. He's not to be a dictator. He's not to demand this. This is between you and God, ladies. There are a lot of women's liberals who don't like this, okay? But listen, this is not demeaning to women, all right? It has nothing to do with making ladies second-class citizens. It's making a statement of fact how God has set up the family to work. Okay? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as unto who? The Lord. Boy, now that's big, right? I mean, that is huge. What is the Lord or a Lord? It's someone who owns someone, okay? The legal authority, one who has power over another. You may say, well, my husband doesn't have authority over me or power over me, or he doesn't own me. But that's not what it says. It says, ladies, submit as unto the Lord, okay? That's the type of submission that the wife, that you the wife should have. Why? Why should you? Well, because the husband, it says, is the head of the wife. Swallow hard, ladies. As Christ is the head of the church. Here's the thing. Okay? You know what a head is. The head is the part of the body that gives direction to the rest of the body. And if you'll notice, in a normal body, the hand does not argue with the head, right? I mean, there's such a oneness, such a closeness, that you don't even think about the hand responding, okay? And when I say the hand doesn't argue with the head, that doesn't mean the ladies never argue with us, right? But there is such a oneness, such a closeness there, that if my mind thinks it, my hand responds. If my mind thinks it, my legs respond and do what they do because of that closeness and that oneness and that connection. But I offer you this to those ladies who would say, well, my husband's not the head in our relationship. There cannot be a two-headed relationship, okay? Have you ever seen a two-headed body? Does not work. It's a freak of nature. It happens on occasion, but it does not work. Every organization has to have a head. It has to have a leader. It has to have an authority that is responsible for the final decision. I find it really interesting to consider that there are a lot of ladies today who just refuse to accept that role, that the husband is supposed to be the head, yet these same ladies work, and when they go to work, they have a boss. And it's okay to have a boss, right? Well, what does the boss do at work? Does he not exercise authority or power over the employees? It's the same concept. What if every organization, or what if we outlawed that any organization could have no CEO or no president or no boss? How would that work out? It wouldn't. There has to be a leadership role, okay? But I offer you this also. Just because a man is the president of a company does not make him better than his employees. As a matter of fact, what it does make him is responsible for the successful operation and the well-being of all his employees if he is a CEO that's worth his salt. Okay? Now, I realize in the business world today, there are a lot of CEOs and presidents who are there to line their own pockets and everything. But the concept, you see what I'm saying, okay? Now, ladies, you may say, but my husband's not a believer. Does that mean I'm supposed to listen to him? Yes, as long as he's not leading you away from the Lord, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You can go read that later, right? But it says when you're in that relationship, and the first message we preached in this series was be not unequally yoked together, right? But if you are married to an unbeliever, still assume that Christian role of wife, all right? Because your conduct, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, may very well win your spouse to the Lord, okay? Now, just as the church, it says, is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands. We all agree with that. Amen? The guys are sitting over here shaking. I'm not saying amen to that, preacher. There's no way. Yes, I'm the head, but she's the neck that turns the head, and I'm not going to do it. Uh-uh. No, sir. Okay? I understand. But what I do want you to get is this is what God says will work. Do you understand that? Say amen. 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 All right. All right. Here's the question. All right? Here's the big question. Remember, we said submission was to voluntarily place yourself in subjection of another. It is a choice that a woman must make herself. It is an action that a woman must do herself. And it leaves us men having to answer a very important question. Here it is, men. Why should your wife subject herself to you? Did you get the question? Why should your wife subject or submit herself to you? Again, nowhere in the Bible does it give the slightest inclination that we have the right to demand or require it of our wife. And it is a choice that she makes, and it has to be her choice, and that's the only way it'll work. So why should she submit herself to you? Sometimes in counseling, I smile. I've heard men, I don't know how many times, say, well, now the Bible says that I'm supposed to be the head of my house. That means she's supposed to follow me and do what I say. You're a dummy. We interpret Scripture that way. But what we're doing is we're not getting the rest of it, okay? You see, when it says, wives, submit as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. But read the rest of this. As also Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands, everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And you go through here and you read, and it's not just a command to ladies submit. What it is, it is instruction to the ladies. Ladies, this is what you're supposed to do. And then it tells the men, men, you're supposed to earn that position of leadership in your relationship to that lady. Okay? That's what Christ did. Why is Christ the head of the church? Why? Why? Well, it's all through here. Verse 23, he says, Christ is the Savior. He bought and paid for the church with his very life's blood. Amen? I mean, verse 25, it says, he gave himself for it, the church, right? He gave himself. He left the glory and the beauty and the splendor of heaven to come to this earth and live as a man. And he lived a sinless life, was without sin all those years. And then he gave himself to be crucified on the cross of Calvary, all for us. He gave himself that he might sanctify the church, or set it apart as sacred, so that there's nothing else in the world, in the universe, like the organization of the church. That's what Christ did. So I ask the question today, why should Christ be the head of the church? And the answer to that question is, he has earned that position by what he has done. He has proven himself to us. You know? I mean, it's not just a God sitting over heaven saying, I will be head of the church. It's God in his love sent his Son. He proved his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? Now let's go back and let's apply it to the husband and wife thing. Husbands, why should your wife submit or subject herself to you? Are you willing to lay down your life for her? To put aside your wants, your desires, maybe even your life dream? Sometimes we men can be selfish. Amen? I mean, you know, sometimes we forget it's really not about us. Our life should be about God, number one, and our wives, number two. Okay? I keep hearing these organizations, I'm number two. No, you need to go farther down the list than that with the I'm, you know. If you're married, God's number one, wife's number two. And I don't know, maybe you could be number three, four, or five, somewhere down in there. But are you willing to lay down your life for her? That's what Christ did for the church. He sacrificially gave himself for the church, for the well-being and for the salvation of the church. What have you sacrificed for your wife? To prove to her your love. You know, I like this in verse 26 where it says that he might sanctify it, the church. That means to set it apart. Like there's no other organization like the church. And there is not. Okay? Husbands, do you make your wife feel like there is no one in the world like her? If you don't, you should. Okay? If you don't, you should. And why did Christ do all that? Well, you read in Revelation chapter 19 about the wedding ceremony and the church being presented to Christ pure and holy and blameless and spotless and without blemish. That's why Christ did what he did. You say, Brother Doug, why should I, you know, sacrifice so my wife can have? And why do I do without so she can have? And the answer is very simple. You get what you pay for. Think about that one. You get what you pay for. If your wife does not feel honored by you, if your wife does not feel nourished and cherished, I like verse 29, that word cherished means tenderly care for. If she doesn't feel that from you, don't expect her to bow down and submit to you. You see, I'm a little old-fashioned. Sometimes, you know, these things are hard to preach because, boy, it just points right back at me and my failures as a husband continually. But what do we do? The simple things in life. Do you open a door for your wife? Think about that. Do you constantly say, darling, I love you? I knew I was going to mention this opening door thing, so I opened the door for Beth this morning. She's over there smiling real big. You see, what we've got to come to grips with is that, yes, the wife is supposed to submit to the leadership of the husband. But we should treat them men in such a way so as they just have no choice, but the desire of their heart is to submit to our leadership. See, that's what happens in Christ, right? When you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb and you realize the price that's been paid for your sin and you realize all that Christ has done for you and you cry out for salvation, and then after you know He saved you, then it's like, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to submit to Your will for my life. I want to honor You by my life. You see the picture that's being painted? I'm convinced that if we will treat our wives like a king, like a queen, and they will treat us like a king, our marriages will stand the test of time. Okay? You see, God is the expert. He created them, male and female. He knows the differences. And He's given us direction. I look at our young ladies today and I think, see, I'm old-fashioned. I think they're just... Let me tell you something, young ladies, you do not have to accept misbehavior out of a young man. Okay? If they do not treat you with respect, if they do not treat you with honor and with dignity, you kick his backside onto the outside, okay? You don't have to accept that. You are God's creation. And I say that because I see it a lot, especially in young people. Young men think that that they're God's gift to a woman, and that it's girls' job just to fall all over them. Leave them alone, girls. They're not worth it. If they can't treat you like a queen when they're before you marry, I promise you they won't afterwards. Okay? Don't accept that unacceptable behavior. And men, let me offer this to you. Young men, as you're looking, you be respectful of that young lady. You open the door for her. You pay for her meal if you take her out to eat. Chivalry's not dead. Yeah? I think a man ought to be a man. And I think that we've really failed in a lot of respects with this equal rights stuff, trying to make women and men the same. We're not the same. God did not make us the same. He didn't expect us to treat one another the same. Okay? Gentlemen, if you want your wife to submit, you treat her like the queen. Then he ends here in the last part, the last verse. I like that. I like this. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Ladies, I want to offer you this from a man's perspective. It's not okay to tear your husband down. Okay? You're supposed to be the one that builds him up. Do you know what what a man needs? I have got this much, okay? A woman needs to be treated like a woman. A man needs to be treated like a man. And I may have shared this with you before, but I'm going to run a risk and share it with you again. Every man needs to feel like he is the man, period. The man that can do anything. You see, it's the man's job to fix it, right? I've got to give Beth credit. She knows how to play the man card. I take out the trash. She says, "Oh, thank you so much, babe. And you did such a good job." And I'm thinking, "That's right, and I took out the trash." You know? She knows that I need to feel like a man. Okay? And that's where the respect comes in. Okay? Wives, you make sure you respect and honor that man who is dedicating himself to treating you like a queen. You make sure that he never feels like anything but a man. I think I was reading a book one time about marriage, and it was talking about how man never loses that need to be the prince that rides in on the white horse, you know, the knight in shining armor. And we don't. We never lose that. Ladies, if you want to respect your husband, make him feel like that knight in shining armor. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you something. You're not ready to build a marriage relationship until you have experienced what real love is through Jesus Christ. Okay? Here's real love. Jesus gave Himself to die for your sins. Okay? He gave Himself so that you could have eternity in heaven. You see, there is a heaven. Amen? And there is a hell. Amen? And you're going to spend eternity in one of those two places. With Jesus, it's heaven. Without Jesus, it's hell. And the choice is up to you. Okay? Jesus has done all He can do for you. He paved the way so that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's up to you. Okay? Up to you. Your prayer away from salvation. Are you a child of God? Maybe you are a child of God, but you've strayed and it's time for a rededication. Listen, it's amazing how many other things can be right when you get things right with God. Okay? And sometimes, you know, marriages are challenged. And it's a result of things not being right. People refusing to take God's word for what it says and apply it and do it. Okay? You want it to work? Look into God's word. Let it change you. Maybe you're here and there's another need. Perhaps you need to become a member of this church. The Lord is leading you to be a member here. We'd invite you to come. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Whatever your spiritual need is, okay? Whatever that need is, I would just invite you to say yes to Jesus. Our Father in heaven, I thank You for the day. I thank You for Your word and just what we can learn from Your word. I thank You for the couples in this church, the married couples who are an example for others to see, who are just so solid, Lord, in their love for one another. And Lord, I also know that the family and marriages are under attack. And there's only one solution to the attacks of Satan, and that is Your word. And Lord, may we build our marriages, our families upon the foundation of Your word. And Lord, may we take our stand there, come what may. Father, I pray that Your will be done in this invitation. We love You and we praise You. In Jesus' name.